Father, we worship you. We thank you for the glorious testimonies of your children. Lord, iron sharpening iron, Lord, testify to the great faithfulness of the Lord. As many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are the sons of God. We thank you for these testimonies, Lord, of God's feeding in our life. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. So we never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
And we stand with you always, even to the end of the age.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Across the world, testimonies, we worship and we adore you.
Amen.
David said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently on the Lord, and they heard me. What it is to really learn to be patient.
Yes.
You know, the Lord will never be late, nor be too early. It will be right on time.
Amen.
Blessed be the glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So as we read the scripture tonight, Lord, we trust you, Lord Jesus, that you're going to leave us a blessing.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Good to always take a portion of the Bible, you know. The continuous one story of our redemption. We're beginning with the archenemy of God and man, and then we're going to resume. I don't know, maybe get two or more to go in the time to come as the Lord will lead us. So we came down from the top of the hierarchy. Satan himself is four, and we went through his hierarchies, falling angels and demons. We differentiated between the two of them. Then last time we met together, we talk about the different, even within the lower hemispheres of the devil, hierarchy, called the demons, you know. Yeah, they even have different type among them. Talk about demons, deaf spirits, talk about blind spirits, infirm spirits, deceiving spirits, jealous spirits, spirits of treachery, seducing spirits, insane spirits, or unclean spirits among, you know, all the categories of demons. When you name all those things and look at the world today, you can see how much influence demons have upon the world. Just by even naming these different words, you know. We don't say they cause all the havoc in the world, but they are involved anyway, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Directly or indirectly. Praise the Lord. So we saw that. So tonight, we're going to talk about more about demons tonight. Casting out of demons. That's tonight, by God's grace. And let's just dive right in by the grace of God. The casting out of devils. Today, as well as in the past millennia, you know, millions of people have been, or even as we say today, have been oppressed and tormented by demons. Even we read in Acts 10, I believe it is, and the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The devil is the oppressor, isn't it? The Lord is the deliverer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anyway, this makes what I just said now, it makes the subject of casting out of devils an important, and even for that matter, a very practical one. The day we are living in, especially, you know. The scriptures show us the means ordained of God whereby this evil spirit may be cast out and set people free, you know. So we're going to look at that tonight quickly, as much quickly as I can, by the grace of God. So, and not much is recorded in the Bible, really. Not much is recorded in the Bible about the cast out of devils in the Old Testament. Not much at all, little or nothing in the Old Testament, as far as we know. Indeed, the people of that day, the Old Testament, they knew almost nothing about Satan, except that Satan existed and controlled a vast army of evil spirits. That much they know. Set up to injure the human race. That much they really know. Well, even in those days, the righteous of those days, they were looking forward. They have been told they're looking forward, you know, to the coming of the Messiah, whom they believe will reveal all things to his people. You know, so they didn't know so much, but they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. How do we know? Even the woman in John chapter 4, you know, that woman of Samaria, you know, he told the Lord in verse 25 of John chapter 4, he says, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, meaning the anointed one, right? When he is come, he will tell us all things. See? The Lord said, I that are sent by you, I am he. See? Praise the Lord. So we know that. So they didn't know much, but they were looking for the Messiah to come, will tell us all things, you know. And truly, when the Messiah come, as we see now, he did, you know. So for the time of the fall of man, Satan has influenced the affairs of the race, meaning the human race, more or less, you know, as he pleased, manipulated. Only those who are of God, anointed of God, are actually free of his oppression, really, you know. So, and in the redemption, for example, let's take Israel, for example. In the redemption of the children of Israel, and bringing them into covenant relation to him, it was God's intention of not only releasing them from the Egyptian taskmasters, but also from the dominion of Satan. The dominion of Satan in Egypt, of course, Pharaoh was a type of Satan, actually, you know, an emissary of Satan who oppresses God's people, right? So he was there, you know. God's redeemed people were to be free men, not to be in bondage to any demon or anything like that, you know. Unfortunately, the children of Israel, disobeyed the law and broke the covenant. Bring us a point that now, you know, disobedience will permit evil spirit to even oppress even the righteous, you know, because they are disobedient to the word of God, right? So, as a result, they lost their independence many times, came under the rule of the Gentiles, Israel and so on, in Gentile nation. Of course, if they are under the influence of the Gentile nation, these nations are ruled by Satan himself, right? So they are being oppressed wherever they go, you know. So, we saw that India, in the nation of Israel. So, and the activity of evil spirits is recorded in numerous places in the Old Testament. Anyway, we just pick one. We have talked about it before. In these recorded instances, it usually we observe that it happened because of disobedience to God, made an individual vulnerable to the evil spirits. Such was the case of Saul, that, you know, the first king of Israel. We talked about it before. When the spirit of the Lord left Saul, an evil spirit came upon him. That is in 1 Samuel 16, the 14th verse. The Bible says, the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. What the implication of this? It means that it's very clear that men are faced with only two alternatives. Either serve man or God. There's no in between there, you know. So there's no in between. You might either serve God or serve the devil. There's no neutral ground at all, you know. Even the Lord himself told us in Matthew 6:24, I believe it is. And the Lord said, no man can serve two masters, you know. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. So we see right there, it was comparing mama, you know, to God at that time, really. But it's a universal truth that the Lord has spoken in India. So there's no in between, either a man is serving the law or not serving the law. So serving the devil, really, you know. It is apparent, therefore, that Saul did not become completely demon-possessed. If you look at it, he wasn't completely demon-possessed, really. But rather, he was oppressed. Later on, maybe in another session, we talk about oppression and, you know, I mean oppression, difference between oppression and then possession and all those kind of things, you know. But tonight, just cast out of demons and so on. From what we know about Saul, that first king of Israel, we can see that he was not really possessed, you know, but rather he was oppressed. Maybe that the road he was, you know, by an evil spirit, which gradually increased his grip upon him, you know. So it is significant to note that in the early stages of Saul's malady, the devil had only a comparatively mild hold upon him. How do we know that? Because when David plays his harp, right, the man comes to his senses, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't get a full grip of him, rather than possess him at that time, you know. When David played with the harp and all that, you know, the man was afraid. The Bible says, you know, that's 1 Samuel 16:23, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hands, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So we know that at that time, wasn't really possessed, God of grace. So that is a very, very important point even today. That statement that I just made now in the Bible, it's enlightening. When sinners enter the house of God, where truly the Holy Ghost is moving, we have seen it before too, you know, even in our time, you know, where God is moving and something like that, you know, and the heart of the unbeliever is open to the worship, the singing and everything like that, you know, they will, you know, be deeply affected really by the gospel songs, you know, that are going out. The oppressing spirits will then even leave them for, you know, for a time. And some of them, these people, when they have been to this gospel, the gospel place, and singing and worshiping and so on, some of them, you know, they don't receive the Holy Ghost, they become convicted, and they give their life to Christ, you know. So we saw that the same thing that happened to Saul at that time. So, but the other thing, but if they don't listen to they don't keep what they have had, and you know, then they will come again, against them again, and oppress them, you know. So, so we say in 2 Timothy 2:25, the Bible, what I'm talking about now in a way, talking about the believers, you know, how we have to relate to the unbeliever, what we can do, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God per adventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that should be our behavior towards the unbeliever. The next verse says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So we see that happen in Greek, you know, maybe singing Christian worship and so on, that, you know, many people have been converted, you know, if they just open their heart to the Lord. If Saul, for example, was sincere, he would have been liberated from the power of the devil and you know, the evil spirits that came upon him and so on, that, you know, but because he continued in his self way. You know, like the Antichrist, you know, Bible says for a self-willed person and so on, and nourish his jealous spirit, the demon returned to plague him and lead him down the road to ruin. That's what the demons do. They will ruin people's life and so on, you know. And so that's how it goes in there. So for time memorial, this unclean spirit, all we can know is that as far as where they come from, their origin and so on, we show in the Bible that most likely from the pre-Adamic age that was destroyed before the, you know, Adam, Eden and things like that, you know. Anyway, so that brings us to, you know, the Lord now come and bring deliverance to the captives. So with the coming of Christ, a new era dawned in the world, see? And as we're going to see now, he was the promised redeemer of the Old Testament who was to come and redeem the human race from bondage. Even the oldest book, as far as we know, the oldest scripture, the book of Job, prophesy of that redeemer in Job 19:25. For I know that my redeemer liveth. Job, talking of the redeemer, praise the Lord Jesus. And liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He prophesied that to the end of the age. You know? So, talking about that Redeemer. So, that no matter that woman come here, say, we know. When the Messiah comes and sees a cry, he will tell us all things, you know? So, anyway, so, he will do what the Lord could not do. When the Messiah comes, he will do what the Lord could not do. And so, at the very beginning of the Lord's ministry, while in the synagogue, in his hometown of Nazareth, what happened in there? The Lord proclaimed this message of deliverance. His first public speaking in Luke chapter 4, about the 18th verse, he referred to Isaiah's prophecy about him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's how he opened his ministry and so on. You know, he goes to jail every Sabbath day according to his custom, the Bible tells us, you know. So this deliverance of which the Lord spoke here included the setting free of captives who were under the oppression of Satan and his evil spirits. Now, the Lord left Nazareth. He headed out to Capernaum. That was his capital. Because Capernaum was the center of many trade routes in those days. The Lord wanted as many as could hear the gospel. At one time, he told the people, you know, I must go somewhere else and go and preach the gospel to other people too. You know, he said that in one place, you know. So Capernaum was the center of his ministry. They called it as many cross, I mean, trade routes crossing India. So he left Nazareth and went to Capernaum. What happened in India? So leaving Nazareth, the Lord went immediately to Capernaum and proceeded to demonstrate the gospel of deliverance that he just talked about and preached in his own native town of Nazareth, India. In Luke 4:33, here's what he said. And in the synagogue, there was a man, talking about casting out of devils, right? There was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." See? So, but the Lord, of course, rebuked the devil and cast him out. And this was the first case ever in which a demon had been cast out in the presence of a congregation, ever in the history of the world. The Messiah has come. The great deliverer has come, you know. He has come, the Redeemer, you know. And naturally, it amazed the people greatly. Here's what they say in verse 36. People, they never saw anything like this before, you know, in Luke 4:36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and it came out." Okay? So that's how the Lord opened the ministry. All over his ministry was like that and so on, that, you know. So now let's see. The Lord's dominion over Satan was actually an anticipatory of the cross, you know. The dominion over the devil was an anticipatory of the cross also. The Lord secured the victory over the devil by his perfect obedience unto the Father, unto death, right? Even the death of the cross. The Bible tells us in Philippians, I believe it is, you know, by obedience. So don't forget, continual disobedience to God is an invitation all the time to oppression of the devil, even upon a Christian, if he doesn't continue to listen to the Lord. That we want to be very careful, you know. Anyway, the Lord obeyed, you know, even the death of the cross. It was at Calvary that Satan, the prince of this world, was judged according to the word of the Lord in John 16:11. The Lord declared at that hour in John 12:31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out," the Lord said. As a result of the Lord's victory over Satan, first in the wilderness, you know, the temptation in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights in India, and then in anticipation of his final victory at Calvary, the Lord commanded his disciples to cast out devils. So whatever he did, he commanded the disciples and even us today. That is in Matthew 10:8. Here is a command in Matthew 10:8. So, heal the sick, he told them. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received. Freely give. So the Lord gave that command and so on. And even the 70, you know, Bible says, so that the 70 and so on, 2 by 2. And to the 70 to whom he gave the same commandment, the Lord described the fall of the Satan or the devil from heaven. And then, and the coincident return of man's dominion over the power of evil that Adam had lost. So in that promise in Luke 10, it means many things. Even the restoration of our dominion that Satan stole from mankind. In Luke 10:17-19, let's read that. You know, at the 70, return again joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you," the Lord promised right here. And after the Lord's death and resurrection, He could, in the great commission that he gave the disciples, give power over devils and also to all believers. So let somebody come and say, oh, it's not to the disciples. No, to all believers. So in the great commission in Mark 16:17, without reading all the things he said, but talking about casting out devils tonight, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So not only the disciples, that the 12 or the 70, you know, all that believe in my name shall they cast out devils. So right there, it empowers us, believers of all times, can cast out devils according to the word of the Lord in there. So let's see now. Devils cast out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to talk about that, you know. So it can really help Christians, we don't cast out devil by our own power, really. So anyway, it is important to observe that devils are cast out only and only in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. See, believers are empowered to have dominion over evil spirits, not through their own power, but through and by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. Failure comes many times when we suddenly forget that it's not us, you know, but it is the name of the Lord, you know. I always like Acts 19, we are reading of it tonight. Bible says God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Well, not Paul wrought a miracle, praise the Lord, you know. So that is, when we know this secret and so on, you know, it makes things easier for us. So when you forget about faith is the Lord and so on, and things become hard for us. It ought not to be so, you know. Anyway, so and so in Acts 19, so that we could see the 70 also. So it has to be in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? That's why the 70, they rejoice, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. To emphasize the importance that it is the name of Jesus that can really, you know, we can cast out devils, you know. So, and that's in Luke 10:17, right? Only those who have truly believed may have this power, really. Believing means more than an intellectual conviction in one's head. So the reference is to those who believe Christ's word, the Lord Jesus' word, to the extent that they obey his commandments. Because we were told in Luke 6:46, and the Lord said it, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say, the Lord said. So we believe and so on, they that believe and so on, you know, which by God's grace we are believers. So the power to cast out devils involves more than a casual belief in the power of miracles. It's more than that, you know. So now let us see now that casting out devils requires more than the more than magic, you know, that people will see and so on. In Acts 19, the same chapter, we are told of certain sons of Sceva, to emphasize the fact that look, casting out of devils is for real believers, not just anyone or magician or any kind of a thing like that. It's far above that. We're in the realm of the Almighty. We are casting demons out in the name of Jesus. So the seven sons of Sceva, who witnessed the unusual power of Paul's ministry in that same Acts 19, and which in verse 11 we read. And God, I let you know that it's even there. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Verse 12 says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchief or apron, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So these people have heard what Brother Paul was doing. They don't know how he was doing it, really. So impressed by the methods that Paul was using, this vagabond exorcist, the Bible called them, decided to do the same. Likewise, you know, and they foolishly assumed that Paul's power lay in some black magic, you know, similar to what they were doing, you know, only that maybe Paul's own was more powerful because it's the same power, right? But maybe it's in a different realm of magician world and something like that, you know. So what happens to them? Carefully now, imitating the word and phrase that Paul used, they spoke to the spirit in a demon-possessed man. And the incident is recorded in Acts 19, verse 13. Let's read it in there. Acts 19, 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. But here's what they say. Say, we adore you by Jesus whom Paul preached. They have no relationship with the Lord Jesus, right? This stands as for those who believe, right? So, the Jesus whom Paul preached. And of course, and there were seven sons of one slaver, a Jew, and the chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, see, they know something. These demons and so on, you know. When people, that's why you live a clean life, you know, don't even go in there, amen. Settle with the Lord first, praise God. Anyway, so the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Father, I know. But who are these? Who are you? You know? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that he fled out of that house naked and wounded. See? Only the name of our Lord Jesus Christ can demons be casted out and so on. The evil spirit at once saw that these people were merely parroting words and did not have the power of Christ in their life. They know those who don't have the power of Christ, see, just mock that person and try to warn them and just that they have here. What we are saying is this. This real casting out of demons has to be in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us see another thing. The scriptures show that some demons are more stubborn than others. Talk about their categories and what they do, but even the Bible tells us that, you know, some of them are more stubborn than others and thus require special means to cast them out. Whatever means you use, the base power is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other thing we need to do, this proved to be the case in the epileptic boy whom the apostles could not, heal. The Lord has taken three of the disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. The rest of them were knelt down and they brought this boy epileptic. From what we know, from the way the Bible describes him, foaming in the mouth, and all, that's why we call it epileptic, that's what we know it in modern parlance, right? And they could not cast him out anyway. So the apostles, they tried, emboldened by the past successes they have had before. They've been out there before casting out devils. So they lay hands on him, perhaps, and rebuke the evil spirit. They confidently expected a deliverance to come. Albeit, to their surprise and consternation, the demons stubbornly refused to go. Talking about that, some stubborn demons. I remember the days, spending the whole night casting out the devil, you know. Praise the Lord. You know all those things. Praise the Lord. Anyway, and if anything, to this lad, it appeared that even the lad was worse off than at the beginning, you know. So the disciples might have supposed, it's not the will of God for this man to be delivered, and so that maybe they're thinking that way and so on. But when the Lord came down now, quickly, you know, the Lord just delivered the boy, you know, and, showing that the only cause of failure, they were asking, Lord, why can we not, private, they were so ashamed, they went to the Lord privately, you know. It's a good thing, though. Lord, why couldn't we cast him out, you know? And the Lord gave them the answer to not only them, to all Christians of all generations, that are stubborn demons, has to be dealt with specially. And they gave the solution in Matthew 17, 20-21. And Jesus said unto them, couldn't it be because of your unbelief? For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That even cover above and more than demons. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Nothing shall be impossible, you know. So, there's no impossibility in God's dictionary. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we should be, that should be our mindset because we are God's children, you know. So, and the Bible says, so anyway, verse 21, how be, this is the thing, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. The Lord put that in India right there. So, we now learn from the Lord's statement there that prayer and fasting is one of the great means God has provided to strengthen faith. See? Especially for difficult cases. So fasting is one of the means of cure for unbelief. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When unbelief is raging and so on. And one time or the other, you know, we face it and so on. You are reading some scripture, doesn't make any sense, and it's not sinking in. Then time to really seek the Lord, you know. And God said, yeah. So anyway. So, fasting is a method that can be used when all other means fail. The more difficult battle may be won through prayer and fasting, from what we learn from the Lord. You know, even the Lord in the beginning of the ministry, 40 days and 40 nights and so on, that, you know. So, the Lord showed that there were no cases, as far as God is concerned or was concerned, that could not be delivered. Amen? Praise the Lord. That is the message that is passing to us. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. So, though some demons are more stubborn, like we said, than others, all must go before the faith of those who pray the fasting prayer according to the word of the Lord. Prayer and fasting is the master key to the impossible. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget it. Praise God. That's the God's recommendation.
Yes.
I say prayer and fasting is the master key to the impossible. I said that though some demons are stubborn than others, all must go. Any kind of a demon must go before the faith of those who pray the fasting prayer. That's right. That's the Lord's recommendation. And, you know, so blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In wrapping up, I don't want to spend too much time here. So, there are so many, it is a big subject about casting out demons. Now, binding demons. There is something worth noting in the Lord's word, you know, that he used to cast out this demon that I'm talking about, recorded in the another chapter of the same story, but in the Mark's account of the same story in Mark, the ninth chapter. The Lord said something that we should take note. In that chapter of Mark 9, on the same story, 25th verse, the Bible said that rebuke the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. So why is the Lord saying that? So but the Lord expressly forbade the evil spirit to ever return. He said, enter no more into him. So since the Lord never spoke anything without a reason, it is evident that there are times when a demon should be banned so that it cannot return to the person that was afflicted. That Lord was teaching that kind of teaching us that idea. Well, there have been indications that many people who are delivered from satanic oppression often suffer a recurrence of their trouble simply because the demon powers are not banned, like the Lord commanded, don't return. And people can deliver them. They don't give that command and return no more to them. So the Lord said in Matthew 18:18, talking about binding now, this is binding that I'm talking about. It's a binding when the Lord said, and return no more to us. Kind of bind, put a limit to that devil. You can't come back there again. It's a binding, kind of binding. And we are told in Matthew 18:18, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever ye loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. There are such a thing as binding and loose, including binding demons. An example is the Lord commanded that demon, and do not come back in there at all to that person anymore, you know. So let's keep that in our minds. So the question often asked, I think we talked about this the other day, can demons be cast into the pit? I'm beginning to wrap up right now. We mentioned it, but I want to expand on that a little bit, you know, by God's grace. So an expression we often hear, or sometimes hear, in the deliverance ministry, you know, is casting devils to the pit, you know. Can devils be cast into the pit, really? Well, let's look at the Bible. It is perhaps true that demons may be banned, like I said, for a period of time, but whether they can be indiscriminately sent into the pit cannot be certainly ascertained. And I show you why. So in the case of the same way, in the case of discussing the epileptic boy, we just talked about, the Lord rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, and so on, come out of him, and enter no more into him. It is apparent that the Lord took perfect control of the demon that were cast out, and they could not do anything but obey the Lord as he commanded them to do. The thing is this, demons, there's another case in Luke 8, the madman of Gadara, you know. So they protested when the Lord gave this command here. Let's look at it's in Mark 5 too, but I want to do the Luke 8:31. The first thing there I want to bring out by God's grace here in Luke 8:31. And they besought him that he would not command them. We are talking about, can demons really be cast out and be allowed to go to the pit? That's what I'm talking about. You know, we have had that phrase many times, you know. So,
into the
sea, into the Sahara Desert, into the
Yeah, I'm talking about
that now. So now we see. So in Luke 31 version of the madman of Gadara thing, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. What does that mean? The deep means sea? No, it doesn't mean the sea. Because eventually, even at their own request, right? Mm-hmm. When they were cast into the swine, the swine ran into the sea, right?
Yeah.
So the deep is talking here is not the sea, it is the abyss. The deep is the abyss down in here. See what I'm saying? The deep, you know, I mean the pit. And we can bring some scripture to really corroborate that. So the word deep here does not mean the deep waters of the sea. For there they ran the swine at their own request, but that word means the bottomless pit of hell. That's what it means, you know. And there's another place in the book of Romans that really use the same word in Romans 10:7. Or who shall descend into the deep? Not talking about the sea, yeah. That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. See that? Yeah. So that doesn't mean waters. They're talking about the pit, you know. Anyway. So we are asking the question, can demons really be, they cast into the pit and so on? Indeed, it will appear from the words of the Lord Jesus that demons ordinarily are left free to wander about until they find a body that they may enter or even re-enter the one from when they were cast out, as we saw in Luke 11, verse 24. So that verse says, when an unclean spirit or the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he said, I will return unto my house when I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the state of that man is worse than the first. So what you are saying is this. So the Lord, permitted them to go into the swine because they were asking, why are you going to destroy before our time? They know that there's coming a destruction. They know that, you know, but before our time, so the Lord permitted them to go into the swine instead of casting them into the pit, you know. So we can now see from that verse, in this age, the Lord permits them to roam around, you know, but not really, cast them to the pit and so on. So let me see here. So, but we know something that I think, because of that. So, here is a summary tonight. Here is a summary of this demon thing and so on. From these scriptures, certain facts concerning demons and their habits emerge. Number one, that demons seek to inhabit human beings. And when cast out, immediately they seek another human abode or try to re-enter the one from whence they were cast out. Number two, they will not willingly leave a human body. Demons do not cast each other out, as we know, but rather invite others. invite other demons to join them in the habitation. That's in Luke 11, I just read that now. Another point is in number three, only the power of God can cast out demons. And the ministry in which this power is manifested to cast them out, it's an attestation rather, of its genuineness, like we said. Yeah. Now, another point I want to bring out is this. In the casting out of demons, faith should be exercised against their attempts to enter the body from whence they came, that the Lord did, or into others really nearby. In the case of the deaf and the dumb, in Mark 9, the Lord not only cast out that demon, but commanded that he enter no more into him. Now, the power of God can cast out demons, also bind them, and send it to the pit. Yet, we know that it can do that. Yet, there is little record in the old Bible that Jesus, the Lord, actually descended to the pit. There's little or no record about that, right? God power can do it, of course, we don't have a record of one in the Bible. The only one we saw, they protested, and the Lord didn't let them go to the pit. Let them enter into the swine. So, on the other hand, the Lord warned that a demon, when it was cast out, immediately we seek to enter another body. Failing in this, he took other demons. I'm just wrapping up and summarizing now. More wicked than himself. And make an attempt to return to that body again, out of which he was cast out. The Lord showed that these attempts by demons might well be successful if the individual failed to obey God. That's why some people deliver at one time. They don't keep on living for God, and of course, demons can come back and things like that, so we know. So, in Revelation 9:11, let's talk about this, about the pit, right, in our Revelation series. Revelation 9:1-11, talk about the first woe. In the trumpet, the last three trumpets are called the woes, And Revelation 9:1-11 is the first woe, is the fifth trumpet, really, are called the first woe. In there, I don't want to read it, we are told of the fifth trumpet judgment, or the first woe, in which a multitude of locusts were released from the bottomless pit. These are not ordinary locusts like we dwelt on in the past, but demons. The implication is that some demons, indeed, a great multitude of them, have in some previous time been bound and cast into the bottomless pit. I'm just expanding that, And however, we don't know all about the circumstances or even the time when that happened to them, So, but all in all, we see that the Lord allowed them to roam around and wander around and some of that, So in Luke 8:31-32, seems to indicate that demons are free to continue their activities during this age, not sending to repeat, as far as we know in the Bible. So, for this reason, they protested against the Lord sending them to repeat, or the deep, they call it, and the Lord acceded to their request and permitted them to go into the heart of swine. That's why I'm going to stop tonight so we can have time for prayer. That's just a summary of a demon casting them out and so on. That's the whole lot that can be said of individual, according to the Bible, or even our own time, but it gave us a broad understanding of the activity of demons, how to cast them out, you know, their defense, you know, strength and so forth, and stubbornness, you know, and what we need to do when we encounter one like that, you know. So, Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, this whole Bible should be the doctrine of the church, even until the coming of the Lord. Nothing in this Bible is outdated in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, Lord, we thank you for the time we have spent reading your word tonight. As we go, Lord God, let this thing be impressive. We don't want to know where the Lord will send us tomorrow, how we encounter these things, because they are all over the world, really. You know, like we said, you know, in that fifth trumpet, you know, a host of demons, but no, the church will be out of here. But even before then, even in the world today, all these things we are seeing in the world, most of them are perpetrated by demons and unclean spirits out there, you know. So, Lord, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, we pray tonight, Lord, that become more, you know, operative in the church. The discerning of spirits, for example, Lord, oh God, that we may know different situations that we encounter. Lord, the word of wisdom and all these things, Lord, to help, oh God, this large church, Father. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. As we go, Lord, let the Holy Spirit, Lord, expand this thing to us, Lord, and our individual study of the Word of God. And to know that we have authority, we have been empowered. Anybody, even a child of God born yesterday, has the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus to cast out devils. So let the lie of the devil that intimidate God's children, even the older Christians and so on, not even knowing all of our rights, let this, oh Lord God, misunderstanding be taken away, Lord, from the church, Lord. And let every one of us assume our ordained power. We are ordained. Say, He has ordained us to do these things. So grant it, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, go ahead.
And some experience.
Yes.